Right, good day, nerds, and thanks for joining us for episode 9 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, and joined by our usual co-host and the founder of the Nerd Cantina, Steve.
How's it going, Cantina?
All right, so this week we're testing out a new format. So what we're looking to do is continue with our weekly news published every Wednesday, where we ramble about what's happened over the last 7 days, some of the major events, and then separately releasing our standard interviews that have been played at the end.
We feel that this will give more listeners a chance to cram us into their busy work days. We know that some people looking at the list of podcasts, once they see an hour and a half, 2 hour podcast, might skim past the Nerd Cantina and not give us a try. So we want to make sure that we break up that content in a way that everybody can enjoy the show and appreciate these interviews and the weekly news that we're trying to put out for everybody.
Yeah, and that along with the fact that these interviews, we hope have some staying power, that we're going to interview some great guests that people may want to seek out to re-listen to that interview a year from now. And we don't want that tied up with the current events that have taken place. So that all said, this episode, we are going to be focused on the nerd news, which includes some chilling news about the late Stan Lee. We've got a pretty sparkly new Batman. We're going to discuss the bleak future of what maybe Netflix's coming demise. And then at the end, go ahead and stop if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, because we're going to go full spoilers on this entire season of Game of Thrones.
So with that said, let's get into the show.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, well, let's get into episode 9 of the Nerd Cantina Show. To get started, Steve, why don't you go ahead and recap quick for us John Wick, because from everything that I've seen, it sounds like that movie didn't disappoint.
If you are an action fan or a fan of the previous John Wick movies, this is definitely a must-see. There were some flaws in the movie. The first act came at you hard, real hard. I should have known that there's no way they could have kept that up for the entire movie, because the first act was just phenomenal. Then enters in Halle Berry, which is a coin flip of a performance every time she's on the screen, and this time coin fell a little flat, dragged out the second act a little bit, and then the third act fell somewhere kind of in between, a little flat and exciting. So it had its moments, it had its ups and downs, but overall is a great movie when you take into the fact that the dedication that these actors have put into being tactically, you know, proficient in all aspects. The length of the single shots, you know, so without cutting to different scenes and cutting back and doing a lot of the shaky camera work, just how focused they were on some of these scenes for 15, 20, 30 seconds. Shows the amount of choreography that had to be put into it and things like that. It was just, it was done really well. I do have to say, though, that I walked in and the theater was packed with, you know, a bunch of dudes, just a whole bunch of dudes, you know, and I go by myself. So there's just this one lone empty seat in the theater. And of course, me being 6'3", 230 pounds, The guy sitting next to me is a 6'5", 300-pound black man that, you know, we both just looked at each other and were just like, oh, geez, dude. And I was just like, oh, you were hoping for a little white lady, weren't you? And he was like, yeah, can't lie. I think I kind of was. Because it's those recliner seats where the middle armrest can go up and we can get all snuggly.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. You know, but like, even with that whole row of dudes, at least 6 times, there was just some fight scenes where you couldn't hold it back. You just had to jump up out of your seat. Oh, shit! Like just brutal. Like, oh! Like, so it was just, the whole first act was just 5 minutes of, like, everybody trying to be quiet, but it was just such a brutal scene that you had to just be like, oh, shit! Oh, God, no! Don't do them like that, Wick. Don't do them. So just for that fact alone, I think it's worth seeing in the theater. I will say, go to the Dolby Atmos theater if you have a chance. The amount of the explosions and the gun scenes and the car chases, that surround sound that rattles your seat, was really worth the extra couple bucks. But yeah, definitely try to check this out in the theater.
Yeah, I'm looking to try to sneak out of work or something sometime this week with some coworkers and go and see it. So it's definitely something I'm super pumped about. But
appreciate that training too. You know, it was intense. You know, at times it was really intense. Yeah. In the review, I do say too, I think they went to the dog well a little too much. You know, it's. You know, all this over a dog, and then Halle Berry's got dogs, and it's like, and so we get it. He loved his dog, but that's not, you know, if you like the storyline and you like the way the movie was, that's not why he did it. You know, it wasn't because they killed his dog. You know, yeah. Like they did whoop his ass and steal his car in the first movie too. You know, so I thought they went to the dog well just a little too much. Yeah. 4 stars. Go check it out.
All right, well, now to start hitting the news this week. First one, just to talk about briefly, is some upsetting news for the nerd community. And that was the news that we heard about the late Stan Lee and his ex-manager.
Yeah, they had talked about these stories when he was still alive, and they kind of like tried to debunk them, I guess. You know, there were some horror stories that he wasn't being treated very well, and then the people came out and said, no, it's all just fake news and this and that. And I guess now after his passing, things are actually starting to come out that, no, what we were worried about actually was going on, and they're going to be pursuing criminal charges.
Yeah, it doesn't give a great deal amount of detail, or at least what I've been able to find as far as what the exact allegations of abuse are, other than him kind of isolating Stan Lee, a little bit of financial misuse. But yeah, there's that restraining order put against the manager towards the end of Stan Lee's life. And I mean, really, it's just a sad story. It'd be sad for anybody to have, you know, a grandparent or anything else be misused, but especially somebody who was so beloved in like modern culture and nerd culture to find out that his end days was entrusted to some manager that took advantage of and abused him.
Well, I'm not going to lie that ever since his death, anytime I see a Stan Lee headline, I am just like dreading like a Joe Paterno story.
Oh,
like that's like honest to God, that's every time I see something about Stan Lee in the headline, I'm just waiting for somebody to come out now and try to take away one of my childhood heroes. You know, I could like it, you know, you're waiting. Stan Lee reportedly groped 15 women. Like, honestly, oh, geez, yeah, now Stan, that you're please saying don't it. Stan.
Now that you know what I mean, you know, there's stories of Stan Lee not necessarily treating the writers of older the comics, giving the credit necessarily to everybody who's been a part of the journey for Marvel. You know, there's been some of that, but the truth is for as old as Stan Lee was and the era that he became prominent through, we really haven't heard any massive stories of him just being a terrible human being, which is a testament because there's a lot of terrible human beings during his professional time frame.
And in this day, you know, where in the call out culture, you figure somebody would jump to that opportunity if it was true. So the longer that the time span goes by after his death that we don't hear one of these stories, I'm taking deeper and deeper breaths when I see his name in the news. But yeah, every time when the headline first broke, I was like, before I could read the headline, first thing it thought in my head was just like, oh no, Stan. Oh no, please don't Biden us, Stan. Like, don't do some, don't be an Uncle Joe. Like, and then it was about, you know, the way he was treated. And yeah, it instantly, I got my bearings back that I can have my faith in one of my childhood heroes. And it's just horrible because you hear these stories all the time, you know, about the elderly being taken advantage of, and especially a man so beloved by the fans. There would have been a million people willing to step up and just do the right thing by this dude. And for some reason in his inner circle, you just had one monster that had no problem taking his money, locking him in a room and doing whatever he wanted with him, you know?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And hopefully, you know, you joked earlier in the week on the Facebook group about us being Nerdstradamus, because it seems that every time we have a conversation and speculate, by the time the podcast comes out, some news comes out that validates what we talked about, or yeah, the fact that you said this now, if some bullshit comes out, you have ruined the legacy of a man yourself.
Yeah. Every week we talk about a subject, and before the podcast even airs, someone writes an article on one of the thoughts we had, and I'm just like, oh man, like I took it as validation that we had our thumb on the nerd pulse, but yeah, maybe I'm just putting these things into the ether and they're coming to fruition, and I should have just really shut the fuck up right there.
Well, to move from that's the sad news of the week, but to talk about maybe happy news, I don't know. We've got a new Batman announced, at least I think it's official now, or close to official. I don't know what the hell
it
is.
It's getting even closer to official. I don't think any ink's been signed on it yet, because they did float out another name to kind of calm down the fan reaction, but I'm pretty sure it's almost a done deal.
Yeah, so we got Robert Pattinson from Twilight fame, who's now penned to be the Batman, and there was a hell of a reaction. I was actually upset that within the first hour, I couldn't find the sparkly Batman memes. Like, I was super upset I wish I had the time and the ability to craft a well-sparked Batman, but it was all the big hatred was all centered around him being the Twilight guy.
Yeah, and I'm not jumping on that bandwagon right away. We've had some pretty bad Batmans in the past, and I don't think that this calls for such outrage right away. I mean, you can be skeptical, but to be so like upset about it that you want, I mean, they had a million people sign that Game of Thrones petition. I'm sure someone's starting a petition to shut this down already. Yeah. I just don't understand why necessarily. Like, he's at an age where he could pull off a decent young Bruce, younger Bruce Wayne. I don't know how he'll be as Batman per se. I mean, but his voice can't be worse than Christian Bale's. I'm hoping they do some things differently that work in his favor. Everybody has in their head, I guess, who they would choose themselves. And if you didn't pick that person, they're always going to throw a shit fit. So,
yeah, honestly,
fucking ride with it.
I looked at it and I said, okay, like it doesn't bother me. I knew the jokes were coming. It was too easy.
Oh yeah, you knew the minute they said it, there was going to be a large portion of fans.
Yeah,
that just
it was too easy because the older comic book fans who love their Batman were probably not the Twilight fans, and that's all they're going to see this guy as, and they want to essentially typecast him to that. But in the end, he's a decent actor. He's the right age. He's the right white looking guy, and he could do a good job. The truth is Batman isn't a complicated character to play. It's not that it's going to be the character that's going to be monologuing all over the place. He's just going to be, I think, probably a solid Batman if people can just get over the fact that he was in Twilight. All right. So really, the only issue I had with any of the Batman news was the old Twilight fans chiming in with petitions to try to get Kristen Stewart on as a Catwoman going forward. And I really just don't want that in any way to enter into the DC universe here.
Yeah, I really don't have any urge to see those two in anything together again. I don't want the Twilight fan fiction writers and everything to come in, into the theater with these. I don't want them tainting the Batman franchise. Yeah.
No, but in the end, I think all the outrage over Robert Pattinson is largely unfounded. He's a completely capable actor who is the right age, the right type of person to play Batman. These are the same people that had the outrage when Heath Ledger was cast as Joker, and no, it can't be the Brokeback Mountain dude. All right, everybody got over that quickly. Let's just wait and see and not be too nuts about this.
I'm looking at Pattinson's IMDb, and he's done a lot of stuff, mostly artsy stuff from then on out.
He was typecast as hell. Like it was going to be hard for him to come out of Twilight with another big release.
Yeah, for me, give the guy a shot. Let him. What's really the worst that could happen?
They reset Batman again?
Yeah, we just hit the reset button on Batman again. I mean, as long as he doesn't come in talking like a 50-year-old smoker and puts nipples on the bat suit. I think the bar has been set pretty low for Batman, for new Batman coming in. I mean, you talk to Clooney. Clooney has no pride in his Batman rendition.
Yeah.
I think Kilmer, enough said. You know, Bale wasn't bad, but I never enjoyed, you know, no, tell me what other I never enjoyed that. He's got all this tech, and you can't just invest in a voice synthesizer or something like that. You gotta, I talk like this when I'm Batman, and nobody knows it's me. Like, no, man, it was so horrible.
I imagine, like, there was a time, like, when the directors, whatever else, let him start casting. It was like the first scene that he was Batman, and he came out hard with the, hey, Batman. And they let it go, and then they got down the road, they're like, fuck. We're stuck with this now.
We're stuck with it. No, well, they could have gave him some voice tech in the second and third ones when they did it, but I honestly think that it's too fun of an impression. Like, it's like this generation's like Schwarzenegger. You know, everybody's got a Schwarzenegger. You'll get through the chopper. You know, like, that's us as kids. And now the new generation of kids, they got the Bale Batman, and yeah, they could just, you know, go ramble off anything they want to talk about, and they could just talk like this.
Will Arnett will always be my Batman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not bad. You know, you got the College Humor Batman that really pokes fun at it. I do love all those videos. I'm going to give this one a shot, though. I'm not going to go in with any preconceived notions. Yeah. I hope the kid does good. I can see him being a great Bruce Wayne. I really could.
It's not like when I looked and I was like, "Ooh, yeah, that's our Batman." But at the same point, I knew this was going to happen. I knew the fan outrage was going to happen, but I thought, no, he's probably good. It's again
what we talked about with Sonic. Like, do we really want these type of people having such a loud voice that they influence where things go from now? So now they leak that Pattinson's in rumors to be the new Batman, but he hasn't signed a contract yet.
So there's this big
fan outrage, and now because a bunch of anti-Twilight people, some dude got his heart broken by a big Kristen Stewart fan, and now hates the whole Twilight series and this and that. Like, do you really want that salty butthurt dude being the voice of reason on who the new Batman should be? Like, no, I don't. I really honestly don't.
But again, I'm not mad at him. If movie production companies start doing this and they start like leaking who they're in talks with, and all of a sudden those talks end because of a significant negative outrage that again, hopefully people can filter through what is real outrage and what is just trolls. I wouldn't be mad at a movie company for doing that. Like, that's solid business planning. Like, Have the soft releases, test the market before you commit to a major multi-movie deal and kind of linchpin the future of your universe.
I just don't believe that's truly testing the market. I think the market is the people that don't tweet their petty fucking opinions and crying. Yeah,
but there's enough places to pull real information. And I think, honestly, with him, yes, there was the jokes and stuff that were obvious and they were going to come, but I don't think it's been overwhelming. I don't think he's been roasted to the point that DC's got to back down from it. I think it actually kind of validated that, yeah, here's kind of the obvious stuff we expected, but overall nothing too big.
Yeah, I hope that they still ride with it. I think the dude could do a good job. Who else are you gonna have do it?
I can't think of anybody who's in that right age range. I don't know where they're going with Batman when they're doing the reset. At what point are they picking him up?
Well, they just did like a Dark Knight with Affleck, the old Batman, you know, so I'm assuming they're going to go back younger again. Yeah. You know,
there was some pictures of like the old Batman Beyond cartoons, and people were trying to say Michael Keaton being old Batman.
It would be fantastic to watch, honestly. But I think they're going to go with, the rumors right now are they're going to go with the Hush story, which is younger, kind of mid-range Batman, but like they said, more detective, less breaking arms and blowing out kneecaps Batman, and more x-ray goggles and fingerprint technology Batman.
Yeah, I mean, And that makes sense. I mean, Robert Pattinson, he's not that young. He's in his mid-30s somewhere, so it's about the right time frame for that. So either way, I'm indifferent. I will wait to see what happens. I'm far from being outraged though about this. But to move into some news that we've actually cycled back to, you know, this is episode 9. We've probably talked about this 3 times because it's changing every week. Is Disney closing this deal with buying the rest of the controlling interest of Hulu? So now they're the 90% ownership of Hulu.
Yeah, they just took Comcast shares.
Yeah, so we talked about this. This deal has been kind of in the talks in the background for a while since they acquired Fox officially. Which gave them the 60% ownership, and then now they've gained that additional 30%. I mean, it just continues further that Disney has got a strong vision on where they're going with streaming moving forward. And it's not just streaming with Hulu, because Hulu is the second largest live TV broadcaster in the country. So Disney's now got a major stake in live television. They've got the Disney Plus coming out. They've got the rest of the content that they're releasing through Hulu, all of Fox Productions and mature Disney Productions, as well as whatever else deals they broker and Hulu currently has, and some original content that's pretty good on Hulu, and getting better as it goes. So it's big news.
I honestly think that we're going to hit a day in the next decade where every channel is just a streamable channel, and you know, the major NBCs, ABCs, CBSs just have apps, app that, you know, if you want commercials, like, you could just get the app for free, just like they've been doing for you know, almost 100 years of television. And then if you know, want the upper tier, here, $5.99, we limit your commercials and this and that. Like, I definitely don't think that cable is going to be around that much longer, to tell you the truth, or the cable as we know it. You're going to have like the Fire Sticks and the Roku boxes that, you know, hey, you can stream all your apps from this one location and they have a better UI. I think it's going to be more about user interfaces than actual like cable providers.
Yeah, and even, you know, you've got NBC's in 2020 coming out with their full streaming service, which is going to have a free option, which it sounds like the free option is not going to allow for current season or a lot of the current season stuff that they're doing. So it's going to be past seasons and largely with commercials. And then you've got their paid plans that's going to allow you to watch current season shows, no advertisements, those kind of tiers. So NBC is already moving towards that model. You know, you've got Fox now owned by Disney, which is going to probably have different tiers for Fox productions and Fox television shows. You know, you've got YouTube TV, which is trying original content. I still want to watch Cobra Kai.
I know. I'm not going to lie. I do feel like I'm missing out on that. I do feel like I'm missing out on that. And from what I've heard, because I cut the cord and I use Hulu for my live TV, Hulu's UI, the user interface, is pretty archaic. You know, like there's no quick way to just scan through all the channels. It takes a long time. It's in alphabetical order, so there's no like channels. I can't just type in, you know, 215 to go to NBC. I have to scroll through the A's, through the M's to get through to NBC. You know, like there's not, it doesn't make for like a very enjoyable like TV browsing experience. And I've heard YouTube's UI is a lot better. So a lot of people are switching from Hulu to YouTube for that reason.
For the live TV options?
Yeah, for the live TV options. I'm wondering where, you know, so NBC has a contract with Hulu to provide their current, you know, shows, their most recent shows.
Not anymore.
That's what I mean. So we're going to have like these contract wars and these content wars, I think, coming soon. Oh, Netflix is losing these shows. Oh, Hulu's losing the ability to do this. Like, everybody's just going to take their basketball and go home with it.
Well, yeah. And so CW, you know, the Netflix CW deal just fell through. So all of the Arrowverse and all the stuff that Netflix has pretty prominently displayed throughout their service for a long time. All that's going to go away. And CW, I'm sure, has got plans.
Well, WB has their own app. That's where they that Titans show is, which I haven't watched yet because I'm not trying to give them, like,
give everybody.
I'm not rich. I'm not rich. We have a Patreon page. If you want me to get the WB show and start reviewing some of those, you can go over to Patreon and sign up. You know, and I'll spring for that monthly. But there, you know, I could only afford so many stream services, you know, so I am missing out on some nerd content.
It is getting carried away. What are the ones that we talk about streaming services all the time, and we've never talked about DC Universe? Is there anybody who actually subscribes to that? I have literally never encountered a human being who's been like, man, that Doom Patrol, that shit's great.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Our brother Jake came over last night for dinner in the Game of Thrones season finale, and those words actually came out of his mouth. You know, season finale of Doom Patrol. And I was like, what? Season finale of what? So I know one person. I know one person. You know him too.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we got to have him write a review for the blog on why somebody might want to spend money on DC Universe. I don't, you know, it's, I think, like, it's a $7.99 subscription or something like that. And it's all just DC shows that nobody's heard of, that aren't being sent anywhere and aren't being advertised.
If everybody goes to the Hulu $4.99 model, even with commercials, so, like, I'll deal with commercials on a few streaming services to get the one or two shows that I need to watch on there, which is fine. But, man, when you go to $7.99, $9.99, you know, it's like, man, I'm supposed to spend fucking $120 a month on 8 different streaming services, you know? Like, nah, man, I can't do that shit.
Yeah, it's getting carried away. And, I mean, some of these look all
right.
They
make it under $5. Like, you can argue that. It's like, it's $5. You know, $4.99, $5. Okay. Yeah.
I'll still stand for $5.
I know your mindset. For those that don't know my brother, you know, you want to pry a Washington out of his hand, you got to fight him for it. You really do.
You got to prove some serious value to me. DC Universe isn't cutting that yet. Although, like, the Doom Patrol trailers I've seen on like Facebook commercials, they have like a new Robin show that's coming out that I saw a commercial for, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty good. I assumed
they
it was like CW,
the hell out of that
and then it's DC Universe. I was like, who the fuck's watching this?
Yeah, they hyped the hell out of that Titans, and I felt like I should at least watch it for a little bit, and I was just like, oh, I gotta buy a service just to watch this one show. I was like, no thanks,
for just DC only. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely
makes me
not
want
getting
to fire. Makes me want to fire up the old torrent websites and download AIDS to my computer just so I could watch the Titan show.
Not supporting piracy. it all just, I think, is coming to a head where Netflix, you know, is the major player. Netflix will be credited with creating the streaming, world.
Yeah, they will be credited with bringing it to the forefront before everybody else eats them.
Yeah. And if they can't figure out in the next 2 years to come up with enough purely original content to survive, I think they die. I think the shareholders are going to start disappearing.
Like I said in the other podcast, I don't see why they didn't challenge Disney to buy out Fox.
Yeah.
Like that would have been their answer to their prayers. Like if they didn't see this day and age day coming where everybody is streaming and everybody has a subscription and they're now the medium fish in a big pond, they fucked up and that's their bad. You know, but if they want to be competitive, they need to buy up studios.
Yeah, they need to buy up Stars creators. And AMC, and they have to have some longevity content, because as it becomes easier, the models become proven for all these streaming services, everybody who's got old material is going to pull that into their own service. They're going to stop loaning it to Netflix. And like I said, Netflix is going to have to come up with, they're going to have to be purely original content. I don't know if they survive that day. Maybe they do. They're huge and their pockets are pretty deep. But
Nerdstradamus right here. Nerdstradamus right here. Netflix acquires like Showtime. Netflix acquires like HBO.
I think it's got to go that way. Stars, AMC, those are the shows
Like that. You're going to see Netflix buy up a subscription channel that, you know, fans are already used to paying for these shows. And now they just, you know, they merge it. And now I get these shows with my Netflix subscription. Fans get to save a couple bucks. Netflix can justify their $15.99, the highest costing subscription in streaming. Like, I don't know, man. I kind of see that going.
Or do they just keep pumping out seasons of Nailed It, and I'll just keep watching them have terrible bakers destroy cakes. And I'll be there till the end.
And that's what I mean. I don't think, you know, I don't think Orange is the New Black is going to save them. I don't think a lot of this, they do have a lot of original content, you know, that I do enjoy. So
like House of Cards was great.
It was.
And as like the first like really major streaming service, like real, like top notch caliber show, you know, unfortunate for Kevin Spacey. You kind
of, I don't know if it's a,
you kind of,
well, I mean, I wouldn't say unfortunate for Kevin Spacey. I'd say it's unfortunate for the 14-year-olds around Kevin Spacey.
Unfortunate that Kevin Spacey ruined the arc that show had to take. But
I think it's pretty justified for Kevin Spacey.
We're really going on the tangents here. But did you ever see that video that Kevin Spacey did a couple months ago,
where he
pretended to be in character?
Yeah,
man, that was so
once.
Cringy. Oh God, that just hurt to
it's
watch.
It's like if you didn't think he was a creepy pervert before, here, I'm gonna push you over the edge with this little video right now.
I'm gonna tastelessly pretend to be this character and try to cut down all these people. Just stay quiet. Like, we stopped talking about you for a little while.
Pull a Louis C.K. Just go away for a little while. Just go away. Like, own up to it and just be like, I'm all back into this bush like Homer Simpson. And I'm going to hang out in here for a little while. Y'all let me know. Like, you guys let me know when it's okay to come out. I'm not even going to stick a toe out until people start being like, where's Kevin Spacey at?
I don't know. When that came out, I watched it immediately and I was like, oh, I can't believe he fucking did this. I couldn't believe it. But
I think that's the level of, you know, fame and money you hit. You just become oblivious to common, you know, issues and just the, like, there has to be something to be said about a lot of these Hollywood types just being totally out of touch with the way the real world is.
Did he fire every publicist he had until he found one that was like, this is gonna land. This is gonna get. Like, who
I
the fuck
assume
let that
even
happen?
Even a lot of these Hollywood people, they end up getting like Trump syndrome, where you just it's all about loyalty.
And
it's
you put yourself around people that
and
are just
you just
loyal.
Surround yourself by a bunch of yes men and tell you everything is great. Yeah, I don't think any of these people have real people challenging them, you know, and saying like, "Nah, bro." Like, listen to me. This is what you pay me for. Don't do this shit. Yeah. Like, stop.
That absolutely amazed me. But, you know, this closes out kind of the streaming service stuff. But we've got to talk about Game of Thrones. And I think we're going to go in some depth. So I think right now is the, you know.
The spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the entire season of Game of Thrones, just farewell. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Come on back when you catch up to the real world and watch this stuff and want to hear what we thought about it.
But all right, let's go ahead and let's talk season 8. Right, really, we could talk the finale, but we didn't talk episode 5, which was a fucking dumpster fire. And we now can just talk openly about the whole season.
To me, this was really the showrunners just being done with this shit. They're like, we're just so done.
Or it's that rumor that because the directors were picked up for Star Wars, that they were just, hey, they got production to start getting ready for, and they just said, nah, like, I know we probably need 8 episodes. We might need 10 episodes. Now you get 6, guys, because Star Wars money's out in front of us, and we got it. Who knows what caused them. I can't really imagine, whether the showrunners, the directors, when they looked at it and they said, you know, they kept saying like, oh, we're going to do this in 6. We only need 6 to finish this up. There's no way you laid it out and you're like, we're doing it justice. There's no
fucking
way.
I was a big fan of the show Angel from Joss Whedon. They got abruptly canceled in the middle of shooting a season. I want to say like season 5 or season 6. They were given on their winter break notice that you got 6 episodes left. Wrap it up. You could tell that they only had 6 episodes to wrap up all these storylines that they had going on. They were working on this big Wolferman Hart story arc, and they had to close it all down in 6 episodes. And given the time constraints they were had and the budget they were had, I think they did a pretty good job. But that's exactly what this felt like. Yeah. But they
Except did it was deliberate.
They did
right?
it themselves. Yeah, they deliberately did it. Like they were just like, you know, let's just be done. Let's just be done. And really rushed what should have been at least a 10 episode season, if not 2 seasons, and put it in 6 episodes.
Yeah. That's the only way I think any fan really comes out of it. I don't think there's a single fan. There's some people that didn't absolutely hate this season. Even the people who thought it was an okay ending to the show still think it was rushed. There's no way to get away from this and not think that you have a show that was completely centered around having well-developed characters, great dialogue, slow for a lot of people because of the way it played out. And then you get into the season and there's just development ends. And not only do you stop developing characters, but you take abruptly right turns out of the character path that you've been spending 7 seasons developing. So if you're going to make these abrupt turns, that's fine. But you got to get there. You've
got to do some foreshadowing. Yeah. You got to do some, you know, some mysterious kind of like what's going on. That's the thing is, I don't think
that was episode 5. That was all of episode 5. They went sharp right turn on just about every character arc.
Yeah.
Without like building to it. And like I said, the Mad Queen Daenerys. Got it. You saw that coming. That one was getting painted a bit, that she was getting corrupted by power, or by the closer she got to the throne, the more kind of cautious she became and skeptical of those around her. And there was hints of it. And there was hints of the way, you know, she had no problem crucifying people and burning people in the past. But it was always the oppressors, and she was always for the people. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, nah, everybody's an oppressor. Everybody who's not my people are oppressors. And she's willing to kill everybody. And it's like, that was never who she was. And it's fine that you get her there. But man, just, you gotta earn it.
Take some time with it. You know, you gotta have. So whenever there's like a big character like shift like that, or a big moment like her burning down, it's usually like a payoff. You know, something that builds. Yeah. You can make an argument that they were building up to it. And there's a lot of people like, well, if you didn't see this coming, you just haven't been paying close enough attention to the show. And it's like, really, though? Like, really? Am I the asshole for not seeing this coming? Yeah. Or are the showrunners just dickheads for throwing it at you at the end because they didn't want to fucking write it out anymore?
Yeah. And what I saw coming was her killing anybody who had a potential to impact her ability to take the throne. I thought she'd kill Tyrion. I thought maybe she'd try to kill Jon. Like, I thought there was, like, I think they were, I thought they were building to that because she was so desperate for the power for the throne that she was going to kill anybody who was in her circle that might have threatened against that. And I thought like her killing Varys was completely within what they've been building her for and all of that.
Yep.
The killing of just women and children after surrender, essentially, without going directly to the Red Keep and just zigzagging through the streets and killing everybody. That just, no, that anybody who says, like, yeah, I knew that that's where it was going, get the hell out of here. That's not where the direction was heading at all.
Yeah, no, and the amount of, like, disdain and like hatred they put in her, like all of a sudden, like, you know, and you can make an argument that, you know, they cut what's her face's head off right away, and like she lost her, like everybody that was close to her eventually got killed by somebody, and it just kind of turned her. But like, she had just told Tyrion the day before, I don't want to be the Queen of Ashes, I'm not going to do this. And then, like, they make it seem like as she's sitting up on that dragon and she's waiting for the bells, like, she just has this, like, devious, like, moment.
Adrenaline flowing.
Like, fuck it, let's kill them all. You know, and that kind of goes against the whole slow progression. Throne is kind of tainting her. It made it seem like it was just this whimsical, like, moment that she had where she was just like, yeah, no, fuck it. And if it was a slow build through five seasons, six seasons, then there is no just fuck it moment. You should have, it should have been, you know, somewhat apparent that this was what she was always planning on doing, you know, and no, that's the thing.
And then somehow it's not apparent to everybody. It's not apparent to who's supposed to be the smartest political man in Westeros, and Tyrion, who they redeem him in the finale, but they really spent most of season six ruining a lot of what Tyrion was supposed to be, and they made him just this weak person who couldn't speak up and couldn't foresee anything anymore. He couldn't actually be an advisor for anything anymore because he was so blinded. They ruined kind of who Tyrion was. Varys, killing Varys, I'm good with them killing Varys, but like this is a man who has escaped every political situation ever and is just the enduring, you know, master of whispers. And then what? He doesn't see this coming? Well, he can't find his way out.
They really glossed over the fact that he tried to kill Daenerys himself.
Yeah.
Like, they did not make that
clear. It was very subtle.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so subtle. And then it's like, you know, they kill him for turning on Danny, and you think it's like, oh, it's for his opinion, but then you have to like realize, like, no, he tried, like, if he tried to poison her. He tried to poison her. Like, he was actively trying to kill that bitch. Like, you know, and they made it seem like they killed him just for having a conversation with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You know,
like I say, it was just a weird, again, it was just rushed. You can get to the killing of Varys, but it was just rushed. Like, yeah, it literally was just a conversation on a beach, a quick little conversation with one of his birds, and then he's just sitting at his desk writing and waiting to die. Like, he had to have known that was coming. Somehow he wasn't able to foresee that. He wasn't able to escape.
And I didn't like how they made Cersei, like, just totally oblivious. Like, she hasn't been playing, like, how she hasn't been playing this game for season upon season now, and knows what's going on. And then the last episodes, she's just standing at a window watching the entire city torch and be like, you know, it's like that old Simpsons where the pig is running down the hill and he's like, it's still good, it's still good, you know, and crashes through another bush. Oh, it's still good, it's still good, you know. Dragon torches all the boats. Oh, we're still good. We're still good. You know, torches all the giant crossbows. Oh, no, we're still good. We're still good. Like she didn't see it coming. Like,
well, and she gets to go out in a moment of sympathy as the crying mother and in the arms of her loved one or whatever else. And she's been built as this, you know, unshakable tyrant. And then now she gets to go out in a completely sympathetic way, and then the opposite of just ruining kind of Daenerys and making her the tyrant. And again, just quick, abrupt right turns. I just not a fan of the directions those things went. You got the over dramatized Clegane Bowl. I'm glad it happened, but
it was weak sauce. I thought it was cheesy. Weak sauce.
It was just cheesy. The meeting sauce on the crumbling staircase with the dragon flying overhead, and then, oh, I knock your helmet off. Oh, now I knock your armor off.
Is it just me, or did it look like a cheap set?
Like I said, it was just cheesy. It was just so CGI. They could have just done it in a nice manner. And they went for this like super high visual.
Yeah, we want the dragon flying in the background, blowing fire, and it literally looked like a fake set of stairs in front of a green screen at the end of it. Like, they've had great sets for tons and tons of seasons. Yeah. You know what I mean? On location and these epic rooms that they built, and then it was like, you know, hey, grab five carpenters. Slap me together some stairs, put some styrofoam rocks all over the place, green screen it. Let's get this done.
That's what I didn't like it, and I just thought it was It was a bit long.
And how does the Hound just let Cersei walk by him? Like, how do you not just, like, you know, just chop her stab her first. In a gut? Yeah. Stab her in a gut with a shank, you know, real quick as she's walking by. Like, you hateful bitch. You know, shank.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like,
what? You know, because in his mind, Arya's leaving. So, like, I could see if, like, he told Arya to stay and he was letting Cersei go by because he thought, he was like, I'm going to let Arya get this one. But, like, no, he, like, begged her to leave. She left. So,
what if Cersei escaped and then Arya, then Cersei still lives and Arya's just like, dude.
Like, bro, I thought you had it. Like, I thought you had it, man. You know, yeah, it was very, I don't want to be one of the ones that are just like shitting all over, you know, the last season. Like,
there's just episode five.
There's a lot of people that are just shitting all over the entire last season. And I really, definitely have my complaints.
Episode 5 is worth being shit on. It is. I thought it was truly just a complete mess of an episode as far as storytelling goes. It was beautiful. Like, there were some visuals that were great. The city, the amount of time they spent in, like, actually creating the rubble and the dragon destroying the city. It was an absolutely visually appealing, minus the Clegane Bowl corniness.
Arya making the mom leave the room. Oh, like, you're gonna die in here. You're gonna die in here. Dive 20 feet away from here. Like, yeah. let's dive 20 feet away from here.
Leave shelter. Out in the open is the best place to be.
The minute they step out of that room, there's like four Dothraki riders slashing everyone to bits, and it's like, oh, we fucked up. We fucked up.
Well, even down to what pisses me off, you know, you talk about Dothraki riders, I'm going to talk about the Northmen. Even the fact that they make the Northmen the dude who's trying to rape the little girl, like, you've painted the North as being the virtuous fucking warriors and the virtuous kingdom of the Seven Kingdoms. And then this is the dude that John needs to kill as one of his own men because of rape. Again, right turns all over the place. Just fuck everything we've been saying for 7 seasons.
It's not like
seasons.
The Dothraki haven't been cutting off heads and raping since day one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, make it a Dothraki. I don't give a shit about the Dothraki. Like, that's perfectly in character. But no, let's make the rapists be the virtuous warriors of the North. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Well, then, on to episode 6, you had, you know, the scene where she comes to the stairs. How did that many Dothraki and Unsullied survive the Battle of the Dead? You cannot tell me.
Remember, they stated it like after that battle, because I think they recovered. We were like, oh, no, there was only like one legion out there. We had multiples in reserves or protecting the flanks.
How fucking convenient.
Yeah, they explained it, you know, air quotes around that later down the road, because, yeah, there's still a lot of these dudes. What was it? They said at the end during the council, was it like they said they had 10,000 Unsullied still remaining?
Yeah.
And it's, oh, really? That's that's a lot. I don't know where these guys are coming from. But it's episode 6, the finale. I'm not going to say it was a great ending to the show.
I'm still undecided. I
think the same thing, because, you know, right now we're recording it the day after. I haven't even had time to go digest or go read articles or really.
I was
going to
say, it's kind of like that meal that's sitting in your stomach. You don't know how it's sitting yet. Like, I don't know if I should
get the shits later.
I don't know if I should eat that hot dog. that Home Depot hot dog cart might not. I don't know if it's sitting too well right now. Like, so I'm still, you know, digesting that one. You know,
my initial reaction is, it's okay. It's
an end.
It's an end. You know, like I said, they give Tyrion his redemption. You know, he gets to some degree, as far as like being an intelligent, he gets his monologue time and everything else. He gets to see Jaime and Cersei, which, by the way, they
pointless.
Died under a small amount of rubble. Really, yeah, they could have found. That was just.
He moved like five rocks. Yeah, he moved like five rocks.
It was really unfortunate they fell under just that one piece of rubble pile. Because
they made it seem like the whole fucking thing caved, and it's like, no, just one pile at the door and like three small piles around here. They were just they stood on the X. You know, that was to me almost a pointless scene, because why did. you know, Tyrion needed confirmation that they were dead. Like, they could have easily done that. They could have easily done that by Davos telling and Tyrion that the boat never left.
It's us. We needed it as audience. We needed that closure. Need that you shit. Can't have off screen deaths, and essentially that's what you did with you never got the closure of seeing Cersei and Jaime die on screen. So to see them dead in embrace or whatever else, that's a fan service thing. That wasn't even about Tyrion's character. It did further his love for his siblings, but it was a fan service because you can't kill those major characters off screen on just kind of like disappearing under some dust and never see it. So I was actually okay with that scene being in there. The whole first, what was it like? Almost like 20 minutes was barely anything said. It was a lot of just like silent acting of walking through the rubble, but it was again visually beautiful. I actually liked it. I liked the slow build into it. The weird Jon Snow trying to stop the.
Yeah, but when you got a last season where you're trying to cram as much shit as you can, like they cram, they do the hard turns, they cram everything into an episode, but here's 10 minutes of Tyrion walking through rubble to find dead bodies that really don't add anything to
the But that's how the whole season should have been. I'm not going to be mad that they didn't rush this episode because I wish the whole season was still more of that.
Yeah,
I was good with that piece of it. You know, like I said the Jon Snow trying to stop the Unsullied from the killing the surrendered soldiers. That was in character.
No, yeah, that was good.
It was good.
That needed to be
Davos
that
is
to
always
show,
the
yeah.
Davos is always the dude in the background trying to bring peace, and then in the end they don't do anything and they don't save those dudes and they all die. Yeah. The weird issue. Following that is, how in the hell does Grey Worm beat Jon Snow to the top of the stairs with Daenerys? Where did Jon go? Grey Worm still had 5 heads throats to slit at that point in time, and then all of a sudden Jon makes his way to his moment with Daenerys, and there's Grey Worm still just standing there.
Like he is just moseying along the rubble of King's Landing.
How much money do you think they spent on that shot for the dragon to come out from underneath the snow? With Jon Snow walking by, it was again looked great. Such a random ass thing to happen.
yeah, like and then just kind of like as like the body the head bouncer, oh no, you're good. You get to go.
You're in. it was odd.
I thought it was really odd. Where they went with Arya. So now Arya's just like a deadly version of Dora the Explorer. Like that's what we get with Arya. You know, all this training, assassin training.
But she doesn't assassinate anybody in season 6 or season 8.
That's what pisses me off. Correct me if I'm wrong. The faceless ones still want that bitch dead.
Yeah.
Like, they want to kill her. Like, I thought for sure she was dying before the last frame. I thought for sure someone was going to take off a dead face and slit that bitch's throat right there. And, like, no, they just make her, like, I'm going to go west of Westeros.
They're setting up their spinoff of Arya goes west.
That's the thing. That's what a lot of fans are thinking is that, Arya's exploring is going to be a spinoff.
It would be a perfect spinoff because it would be about as cheap as HBO can get on it, right? You only have to pay one major actor, and then she's so far from everybody else in Game of Thrones, you don't have to pay any of them their money. Like, she's in a completely different part of the world. So they only have to give big dollars to Arya, and then the rest of the characters and everything else is completely brand new, and they don't have to recycle and have any character contract negotiations with the old people, except maybe a cameo somewhere down the road.
No titles, no nothing. Gets sent to a meaningless Night's Watch now. Like, well, we still need somewhere to send the bastards and the broken. Yeah, it's called the Army. Just call it the Army. Like, you need an army.
Like, send them the wall.
Send them to the wall to
start
watch
trees. Start rebuilding that thing.
You know, and they they let, you know, John just goes off to become a wildling now. You know,
I don't know
I mean?
If he went off to be a wildling. I like to think
he that left with the wildlings.
Yeah, but I like to think that he's the Watch commander, and he's now taking in the wildling as a part of their
or
domain.
He just went to the or with the wildlings and he's like, who's gonna fucking come and get me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now you have spin-off number two, North of the Wall. You know, and it's gonna, you know, it could be Snow and Tormund and them rebuilding the Wildling Society or something. Like, I think the only thing they really did for fan service that they wanted was Sansa and the North being free, you know, and they
had to do that because they ruined every other woman character in these last couple episodes. So they had to have at least one strong woman remaining, because even Arya kind of fell to obsolescence over those last couple episodes, where again she turned away, didn't go kill Cersei, runs around getting pummeled in episode 5, completely lost and getting destroyed, gets on her white horse, and then that's it. And like,
yeah.
We don't even revisit that in the last episode. She doesn't do anything, and like really kind of took an arc that you were like building Arya too, and then nothing. So at least Sansa's the only like complete arc that ends in a happy point for any woman in the show.
Our cousin retweeted a tweet that said, like, we thought the overall theme for Game of Thrones was climate change or something like that, and really it ended up being about the supremacy of mediocre white men. And I read it and I was like, okay, yeah. And then I thought about it and I was like, but crazy women have led every army and every story arc. Like, you had Cersei was the crazy queen for every season. You had Daenerys on the other side of the world conquering everything. I was like, really? Was it this show really about white men or like,
no,
bitches
so it
be crazy?
So that's what I'm saying. It was about both, right? It was about why the mediocre white men need to rule, because bitches be crazy. They can't be trusted, right? It's
well, you know, so like, yeah, I think Sansa, it was good for her to come out as the one noble, you know, woman, because like even her mom in the series went
against, nobody mentions her name ever, like
ever again.
Dies, you know, nobody talks about her,
but even her went against her own sons to release Jaime to save her daughters, like went against, like every woman in this show has been defiant. And you know, so really, was that the theme? Was the theme about mediocre white men, or was the theme about powerful women? But in the end, doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman.
I don't know.
Power corrupts.
If I wanted to be an upset woman about this, I think I could find plenty. You know, even Cersei, who is, they made her crazy and strong, but then even at the end, they completely put her down as this weeping mother, you know, scared weeping mother, and didn't even let her die with strength or dignity.
Daenerys just dies as a crazy bitch. To drive home the fact that everything she did was for her children. You know, like, yeah. I wasn't a crazy woman. I was just a overprotective mother, you know, and I'll burn the Seven Kingdoms to save my children type of theme. It was
good.
I don't think you can say it had like one overall glaring like theme. I think there was a bunch of themes all interwoven, especially earlier in the show. You know, with the how much, you know, scheming went down and power shifts and things like that. What was the old lady's name that killed Joffrey? You know, like, man, she was badass. You know what I mean? This badass old lady killed the goddamn king and got away with it. And like, to say that this show was over glaringly about mediocre white men, I don't know if you were paying attention, lady.
Just the ending was. I could say the ending. The ending was, to some degree, it did.
I was waiting for the rise only men to
power and status, and it pretty much put every woman down, minus Sansa, who's
it was good to see that little shit kid king. Oh man, I'm drawing blanks on a lot of these names now. But, I know, I was just waiting for to see him sit there and suck his thumb or something, like, you know, like, I should be king.
I mean the council, I wasn't a big fan of the council that took place at the end. I think it was funny they all laughed at democracy.
That was a funny little joke, I thought.
It was interesting. Kind of wasted a little bit of time there, but funny. I don't think there's anybody who was going to take the throne that everybody was going to be happy with, right? You go with John and everybody's going to say, oh, so, you know, it's so obvious and so stupid. And how does John take it with the Dothraki and the Unsullied there? They would never follow John. You know, you could argue against
let's
just
not,
about
let's not
to
act
take
like
it.
The Six Kingdoms from this moment on are not just going to kill every Dothraki and Unsullied from this point on. Let's not act like these.
Well, the
six
Unsullied
kingdoms.
Are leaving. The Unsullied all got on ships and they're heading to fulfill Grey Worm's thoughts with Missandei, and they're heading off to the islands. So the Unsullied are gone. Who knows where the Dothraki are going to head to? They're just going to graze with their horses. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Let's not act like Westeros is just going to take in these new people and be like, yes, we've come to an agreement here. Let's all live in harmony now. Like, no, like, we can't fight you now, but we will fight you later. I didn't, like, to me, giving Bran the kingdom, it's just a way to justify his importance through four seasons that really got you nowhere with his story arc. I mean, if you really think about it, his whole story arc was pointless. At no point did his visions, other than, I mean, his visions are how they confirmed that Jon Snow was a Targaryen. Don't mean shit. He's on the fucking wall. So who gives a shit if he's a fucking Targaryen?
Same thing with Baratheon's bastard, right?
Yeah. Well, he gets the House Baratheon. He's now head of the House Baratheon, and he had a seat at the table.
Yeah, but they just ignore it, right? That I don't know. There's a lot that they just kind of, again, abrupt. Just, they cut it off. Six episodes is all you get.
It's over. Here's our answer. Don't
yeah the whole
stop, Targaryen, stop tagging us in posts.
the whole Targaryen Jon Snow being a Targaryen thing just never played out. It never got to a point where it actually mattered.
Yeah, no, it really didn't. And
I'm just
was
mad that
whole...
we never saw Jon Snow burn.
Yeah,
I just wanted his moment. I thought we were gonna get that with the dragon fire there when Drogon's upset, mommy's dead.
Honestly, that would have been better. The dragon eats his ass right there, and then the council's sitting there like, "Well, now what do we do?" You know, like all the rightful kings are all the rightful heirs are dead. We need to pick a king as this council. Like that, to me, that would have been better.
Instead, they went with, okay, you know, we want to have the visual representation of the Iron Throne getting broken. How do we do it? Oh, we just make it a dragon mad, and he'll just happened to spit fire at the fucking throne.
How do they know he killed her? How do they know he killed her? The fucking dragon takes her away. He could just be like, man, she went on a dragon ride.
Jon Snow's too honest for that. He's not going to lie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Unsullied walk in and he was just like, I killed her. I killed her. he didn't like he just been like, oh, yeah, they went for a ride. And then like 5 days later, where's Danny? I don't know, man. Like she was all mad. We got into a fight. She got all mad. She took the keys and she left.
That's where he tells everybody that he's a Targaryen. He's like, I don't know. Like she wanted to make out. I told her you're my aunt. I can't do this.
No, isn't he the uncle? Isn't she the niece?
No. Other way.
Other way?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But because he's the male heir, he's the rightful ruler.
The rightful ruler. Yeah, I thought they were going to try to, like, really make a play for why they should be together, with Dany saying that Targaryens have always wed within the family. Like, this is actually just us keeping our family tradition. You love me, I love you. We didn't grow up together. We didn't really know each other. We shouldn't be looking at it like that. Like, I really thought they were going to make a big incest play at some point.
Yeah.
To justify why they should both rule. You know, like, look, I, like, we will get married and you'll be the king and I'll be the queen and, you know, like, this and that. And, like, they didn't even pitch that. You know what I mean? Like, it never even came up, like, that, like, this is normal for Targaryens. It's normal for us to be together. Like, this is how we've kept the bloodline pure.
The conversation would have happened. He just stuck her with the dagger first.
Yeah, whatever. You know, they never, the fact that we're just supposed to believe that, one, John told them that he killed her, two, they came up with the idea, three, that they could have went in many different directions that would have revisited some things that happened in the past, that they went over in the past, you know, and they didn't tie anything in. You know what I mean? Like nothing at the end tied back into, like, themes from the beginning.
No, yeah. If I was to go back and do my marathon session of all the seasons of Game of Thrones, I'm honestly going to watch the beginning and watch a lot of the seasons and be like, none of this fucking matters.
None of this matters.
None of this builds to anything. None of this builds to anything that is meaningful in the end. When you go back and you watch the beginning seasons, and the looming White Walkers in the North is such a big deal, right? In the end, really, it's a minor play at the end. It doesn't really matter. You build to a lot of the political drama and the fight for the throne and Daenerys coming to power and all that stuff, and it's kind of just like all this character development, everything that you're building Daenerys to be, none of it matters in the end.
None of it really matters.
It's an abrupt end. It's one thing to be unpredictable. It's one, you know, there's some goodness to shows that are not taking an obvious approach towards happy endings for everybody. This show's been great at that, at taking turns, but the turns always they always made sense.
They weren't turns just to end like a season on a cliffhanger either. You know, Ned Stark dies the second to last episode. So, like, he gets his head cut off. You're like, there's still another episode? Yeah. Like, you know, that was like the first time where I, like, you know, when shit like that happens, you wait another 6 months and then the second season picks that up. For him to get his head cut off second to last episode and there still be another episode after, I was just like, holy shit. Like, And they constantly did things like that, like epic events that you didn't see coming, because everybody knows there's going to be an epic event at the season finale. Everybody knows they're going to leave you hanging and stuff like that. To do those things in the middle of seasons, in the middle of episodes, that, like, that was groundbreaking to me. Yeah. And, like, they definitely fell short. I'm not going to say that I hate it or lodge any complaints to HBO, but I mean, I've been let down worse with series finales.
The whole season and the season finale, I'm not outraged about. I'm not happy about it. I don't think it was really that great. I just wish they gave it the time that it needed. But it's not the worst. You know, you've got the petition that got over a million people signing it so far, and don't get me wrong, I'm not mad at those people. I'm actually mad at all the people who are on Twitter and everything else that are just telling people, like, oh, get a life. Do something better with your fucking time. Get a life. It's like, one, it took you longer to tweet your outrage about them signing a petition than it did for them to digitally sign a petition. Like, it wasn't really hard for them to log into a website
but at the same time, I do understand their complaint. I mean, petitions are made for, like, bureaucracy, government bureaucracy, you won't sign a petition to get the bridge in your town fixed or to get any kind of meaningful legislative shit done in our country, but you will sign that HBO petition.
We could talk about the misuse of public power and petitions and really something that's insignificant.
Like that's where my frustration is.
The fans have more power than people say. I can remember it was probably 15 years ago, 14 years ago, something like that. The show Jericho. Did you ever watch that show? It's like a doomsday show. I can't even remember what network.
No,
it was.
I
wish I would have looked it up beforehand. But Jericho was a show that I watched. Natalie and I watched, and they canceled it, like abruptly canceled it. Didn't bring it back. And there was a massive petition that went, and there was in the show, there was a reference to peanuts, to nuts. And that was like what somebody said when they were being bold, one of the characters. And they sent something like 30 tons of peanuts to the producers or to the network's offices and just like inundated them for weeks with peanuts to where they brought it back and did a final season.
Certain shows have been saved like that. I mean, they're... Every Firefly fan right now is listening to us talk about this crying because that show got canceled pretty much right before the day and age of internet petitions.
There's power to it. So the people were just saying that, oh, you're just wasting your time. They got a movie made for it,
you know, in Serenity because there was such a big outcry for it.
It's legitimately a valid way to voice complaint. It's easy to do, and you demonstrate. Is it going to do anything for Game of Thrones? Nah, they're not gonna go back.
They're definitely not gonna spend another $100 million redoing this for you crybabies.
So this is gonna have zero impact. But I'm not mad at them. This is kind of the public power we do have in some of these realms.
Yeah, you know, take some of that initiative and put it towards shit that actually matter in our lives. Like, that's all I'm saying is take that same initiative and put it towards education, climate change, something, you know, something that maybe that'll outlast Game of Thrones.
Do both.
That's fine. Do both. Yeah, that's perfectly fine too. I'm not saying it's a zero sum game. I'm not saying you don't have to do one or the other. But you know, you care so much about fucking Starbucks cups and King's Landing. You know, more people
water
signed
bottles. we haven't talked about it yet.
More people signed a petition for King's Landing than they have for Flint, Michigan's water. So that's kind of like what pisses me off a little bit.
I mean, it doesn't piss me off.
It's a little frustrating look at society.
But it's like I said, I'm not mad at them. If I was at the same level of outrage, I might go and spend my 30 seconds clicking on a web link and hit signing the digital petition. No, but when I said water bottles, we haven't talked yet about
the latest glaring Starbucks oversight that they had this season on real life props, which to me, again, is just like the showrunners being like, let's get this over with, folks. Yeah. Let's get this over with. I got Lucas money. Got Disney coming. That mouse about to pay me.
All I know is following this next show that's going to do this, it's going to be full method acting. There's going to be like craft services. It's just going to be giving people like leather skins of water. Like there's going to be no more water bottles on set.
You can only drink your coffee in goblets now, folks. Yeah. We don't want any of this. We don't want any of this fucking up.
We don't want a Game of Thrones happening to us over here. So, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. There's now the water bottle found at Samwell Tarly's foot at the council, which I haven't gone back to that scene. Now I'm gonna have to go and jump on and see if I could find it myself.
Yeah, man, you gotta stay hydrated. you gotta stay hydrated.
I don't know, they were sitting in some well shaded canvas over there. I don't know what he needed so much water for.
You know, bottom line, this is gonna be a discussion for at least the rest of the year. You know, until the next pop culture show takes us by. You know, takes. I can't see there being another Game of Thrones for a while. You know, Lost was it for a long time, and to me, this is like the first show that really captivated everybody since Lost. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I mean, there's other popular shows, but none that just had everybody talking every week at work about it. That had everybody, you know, anticipating these things. Like, so I don't know how long it's going to be for until we get like another one of these. And they set the bar, you know? So like, I think every time a show really captivates us in the first 3-4 episodes, everyone's going to be asking, you know, is this the next Game of Thrones? Is this the next Game of Thrones? And I feel bad for future screenwriters and things like that, that they're going to have to try to, they want to do a groundbreaking show. That's something they're going to have to live up to.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. People had to live up to the Sopranos model and live up to, I mean, there's been shows before that changed the game, and this is just the next version of it. But like you said, people are gonna be talking about this for a long time. You know, this episode of our podcast didn't cover nearly all of the issues with it and the pros and cons, and we always come off, because we're just assholes, overly critical, and I don't think either one of us are that down on this season as maybe pointing out the glaring mistakes.
Some people are really mad, but I'm not that mad, but like some people are really pissed, man, like really pissed. And then there's other people that I think are really happy. I did see Jake Hamilton's the local reviewer on Fox Chicago, and I follow him. I really like the guy, but he said, you know, season finale was pure perfection, and it's like, really?
Oh, well, he's an idiot.
Like, really? Like,
you can't go that far.
Perfection. Like, and that's the thing, is like, I'm not going to say it was great. I'm not going to say it was horrible. Yeah. It just was. They ended it. They just ended it.
Yeah.
You know, and take it for what it is.
Speaking of endings, I think we'll go ahead and cap off episode 9 here. Again, as always, we thank all the listeners for sticking around. We appreciate any feedback. If anybody's out here and likes the new format or the ideas that we're going with the show, and separating really just our ramblings from the interviews that we're having in the future, hey, please let us know. You can always send me an email at ken@thenerdcantina.com, or just join in on the Facebook group. You can find us at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will take you right to our Facebook group. Request access. We'll go ahead and a preview and get in there and join in some conversations. We're already talking about all of these things on Facebook. Continue the conversation there with us.
Yeah, this week's interview, we don't want anybody to miss out on. It's going to be in a separate broadcasted episode. If you come for the news and usually just stay for the interview, make sure you come back for these interviews. We do put some time into selecting who we have on the show. We do talk about some really important topics, and we'd hate for you to skip an interview episode just because you come for the news, or even skip the news because you just come to see who we're talking to. We definitely put a lot of effort into trying to provide a quality program. And I'd hate for our listeners to see a name on an interview that they don't recognize and kind of just gloss over that, because we do have some really interesting conversations. I think everybody can get some good takeaways from these interviews. So please come back, especially this week.
Yeah, so this week we interviewed Dr. Rachel Cowart, the author of The Parent's Guide to Video Games, and a ton of research experience in the realm of kind of giving advice to parents and video games, and what are the dangers of video games? What are the positives of video games? How to incorporate it into a young child's life, a teenager's life? And we go into a pretty good conversation with her on it. And that's one of the reasons, again, we want to separate it from the podcast, because really the Dr. Cowart doesn't deserve to follow our Game of Thrones talk and our nonsense ramblings. The interview is packed with a lot of information that is helpful to parents, future parents, anybody like. So we hope you gain some value out of it. That podcast will get released here in a couple of days. And again, come back for the interviews because there is some great content. And we have a slate of future interviews coming up that we think are deserving of their own show, which is the driving factor of this format change.
So yeah, I'll make sure that you just subscribe to us on any podcast player that you're using. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. And this way you just keep up to date. You can always subscribe to us on our website. You get the email anytime we make a new post. We do have push notifications for desktops, so when things post on there, can't get your little desktop notification. We're trying to do things to keep the Nerd Cantina in the frontal lobe as much as we can, and get you guys to come back and enjoy what we're doing.
All right, well, thanks again for listening to episode 9, and have a good day, nerds.
Take care, guys.